If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Say, I believe God for a miracle.
Love one another. Love one another. Love me in spite of my faults, in spite of my neurosis, in spite of my psychosis, in spite of my narcissistic behavior. Love me with my faults so you can rejoice when my deliverance comes. Love me with all of my bad stuff so you can rejoice with me when God takes his place. Don't write me off. Stand by me and wait with me while I undergo transformation. Hallelujah. But God, Romans 5:8, commendeth his love towards us. Oh, God sent his love towards us, commanded that love come to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because he died for me when I was in sin. Beloved, I can love you in spite of what you do. See, again, we think love is something you got to be hugging and kissing and all this other foolishness. Give me some sugar. There are people that are just not very affectionate. And that could come from a myriad of reasons. That doesn't necessarily mean they're demon-possessed. I am not demon-possessed. And I'm not, a huggy, touchy-feely person. I'm not. I seldom even talk to people. People get on the plane, I wish I could just get the whole plane for myself. Maybe I should get my private plane. I don't do well. I don't do well with it. But that doesn't mean I don't have a heart full of love, because I'll do anything for you. Only God knows the times I've walked into restaurants and I've seen people sitting there eating, and I told the waitress, give me their check. They don't even know I took care of it. My heart is that way. But my actions make you think, oh, he just not friendly. No, I'm not. But I have a heart of love. The Bible says if you want friends, you show yourself friendly. And so how do we walk in this oneness, this unity? I give you this commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. I can't get off of this. Every road ends up with love. The whole central theme of the Bible. People say the central theme of the Bible is the cross. Possibly. But the central theme of the cross is love. For God so loved. Jesus loved. And so you and I, in order for us to be one, we have to love. But you have to understand what love is. Love for a 25-year marriage is not the same as a 25-day marriage. Y'all said amen very fast on that. Probably not. See, I told you. It ain't that I don't love you. Love is the most evolutionary response. I don't want to call it an emotion. It's a response. How did God respond to my sins? He gave Jesus. Love is a response. Love is a decision. I decide to love you. But even with the response and the decision, I must understand what it is. And on the surface, we don't know, because nobody sat us down and said, now listen to me. None of your great grandmoms or anybody, no one who had influence in your life, didn't sit you down and say, now listen, I'm going to explain love to you, so that you don't run around saying it when really you don't understand what it is. Most of us found out every functional act in our adult life was on the job training. Nobody sat you down and said, here's how you are to function as a mom. This is how you treat your child. This is how you treat your husband. Most of you never had classes on how to treat your husband. You just saw how all of them were treated in your family and said, this is how I'm treating mine, good or bad. Why? Because that's how we learn. But love is the only thing that can't be left up to whimsical observation. When a man hears, I love you, he thinks sex. When a woman hears, I love you, she thinks care and commitment. She presses to hear him say that. He don't really care if she says it. It's not that critical for him. It's critical for her because it's connective. For him, it's demonstrative. Well, baby, if you say you love me, well, and she says, well, since you love me, you won't be talking to anybody else. And you didn't mean it like that when you said it. What you meant was, I love you now. I can't speak for tomorrow. And so that's what happens with us. We don't understand love. So Paul sits there, and I really believe, I can't prove this by scripture, but the Apostle Paul, it seems that the Apostle Paul was a bit headstrong, and if we were to give him some psychoanalytical therapy, we would probably say that the Apostle Paul may have had some anger issues. The anger issues might not have provoked violent response, but it certainly did provoke a breaking off response. On one issue, he's going with Barnabas, and Paul's like me, the introverted, scholarly person who absorbs things, but has a difficult time communicating them. So God, in his wisdom, gives him Barnabas. Paul has a difficult time making friends, so God gives him Barnabas. And Barnabas is this encouraging man who takes Paul, appreciates the gift in him, and moves him up to Jerusalem to introduce him to all of the hoi polloi, the big shots there. And he says, now teach them what you've been teaching. And James says, hey, this is good stuff. And the Bible says they gave him the right hand of fellowship and said, go and do it. Just make sure they don't eat any meat that's rare with blood in it, and make sure they don't do anything to idols with idols either. Paul said, fine, I can live with that. And he and Barnabas walk around. They perform this first missionary journey. And along with them, at some point, Barnabas's nephew, Mark, comes. And Mark's young and impetuous, and, you know, he's full of zeal like most young people are, because their reasoning hasn't been solidified. And so Mark is, you know, maybe one day Mark was sleeping, and he said, well, I don't feel like getting up. So Paul's telling Barnabas, come on, we have to go down to so-and-so and go to so-and-so. And where's Mark? Mark's in bed. Isn't he supposed to come and carry the PA system? Well, he ain't going to come today. He won't be there. Okay. Then Mark shows up a couple days later, a few dollars short, and he shows up. And now they're ready to move to another place. And Mark is, well, I'll catch up with y'all later. I met this honey over here at Corinth, and she fine. And I think I'd just like to hang with her for a while. I'm not going to do nothing. I just want to talk. Get a number, and then maybe later on we come back through, something might happen. And so Paul gets tired of this. And so when they get ready to go on the second journey, Barnabas says, well, let's get Mark. And he says, it'll be beneficial for us. And Paul says, absolutely not. He's not trustworthy. And they split. And Barnabas took Mark and went on about his business. And then later on in Galatians, we see where he said, I stood up against Peter, because when the Jews were there, he was only eating, you know, that kosher food. But when the Jews left, he was sitting there eating ribs and chitlins and grits, and he was frying up bacon. But when the Jews came back, he went right back to the kosher meals of, you know, goat and lamb. And he said, I stood against him, because he was to be blamed for his hypocrisy. And I think God talked to Paul and said, you can't be like this. This isn't proper. And so he sits down, and in his letter to the Corinthians, he writes, after he chastises them for 11 chapters, he chastises them. You're babies. You can't receive meat. You're carnal. I mean, he just Pentecostally slapped them around. Then he gets to the gifts, and y'all think y'all moving in gifts? Let me clarify. Give, there are only nine of them. So all y'all that's got the ones outside the nine, you better sit down. And all you prophets, let me tell y'all something. You better not do it unless there's a group of three or more so they can determine if what you're saying is right. And he said, you got this young man down there who's sleeping with his stepmother. Throw him out. Put him out. Because I'm telling you, this sin is so reprehensible, none of the other Gentile churches even have it. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Isn't it amazing how the Holy Spirit guides the writing of the scriptures? He beats them up all the way to chapter 12, and the Holy Spirit said, stop, write this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I make a lot of noise. Wait a minute, Paul, you said that you could not give them meat, but you're giving them the meatiest thing in the Bible. Whether they receive it or not is up to them. Paul is saying, with all of your gifts of chapter 12 and all of your manifestations of chapter 14, there has to be a glue that pulls you together to make you one. Since the gifts will separate you simply by use. All the prophets come together. There ain't no teachers there. All the prophets come together. There are no, how can I put it, discerners of spirits there. When all the people with gifts of healings come together, there are no tongue talkers with the gift of tongues there. It's for healers. So the gifts can polarize. But what brings us together? Ministry can polarize us. I'm an apostle, so I hang with apostles. I'm an evangelist, so I hang with evangelists, etc., etc. We have pastors' conference. We have apostolic gathering where eagles fly. The mindset is apostles are eagles, and the rest of us are crows. Do you know that a crow is a natural irritant of an eagle? The crow always comes and chases after the eagle when the eagle comes to the crow's height. And he comes at the eagle and he starts trying to peck off feathers. He just irritates him. And you know how the eagle handles it? He flies higher. Because the higher he goes, the air becomes too thin. So when you have an irritant, fly higher. Don't get on Twitter and start calling people names. And so the gifts polarize us. Everything in ministry. You're not part of the praise team, so you're out there. We're up here. We're ministering to you. You better receive it. Time to give. Polarization. Everything seems to separate us. What pulls us together? Oh, let me repeat, Your Honor. What should pull us together? But if we don't understand it, then how do we work it? So we're actually walking around saying, I love you, Curtis. But I don't speak to him. I see him come in church, sitting in that same place every Sunday. And I walk right by. It's offering time. I walk right by. Don't even, God bless you. I see you sitting here every Sunday. Hallelujah. How you doing? No, I love him though. Wait a minute. Something doesn't make sense. I'm a logical, practical person. I'm a pragmatist. It's got to make sense to me. I don't get this. How can I tell people I love them and I don't speak to them? Wait a minute. Let's look at this. Go to Galatians. Chapter 5. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said, because the flesh lusteth or warreth against the Spirit, and the Spirit fights against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. Listen, so that you cannot do the things that you want to. Why? Because the flesh fights against the Spirit, and the Spirit is fighting against the flesh. Who wins? Listen, you are not responsible for the combatants, flesh and spirit, but you are responsible for the outcome.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
6118A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.